The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Outer Rim. This is episode number 44. We're recording this on Thursday, April 28th, and I'm joined tonight by Eric. Eric, how are you?
I have not been doing this well since February 12th.
Wow.
Yeah.
February 12th. What happened? Oh, wait a minute. There's a tie-in. I can feel it coming. You've been doing this since February 12th, I think. Everything relates back to this, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a few minutes.
Oh,
okay, go ahead.
Oh,
do it now. I won't hold
putting
you back.
It off for a few minutes.
I'll take the reins off. Go ahead.
Oh, man.
Why are you doing so good? Why are you doing so good the best you've been since February 12th?
Well, Lou, I will tell you why I've been doing the best I've been doing since February 12th, the release of Deadpool. And that is because I have gotten now to once again see Deadpool.
Ah.
Yes. And not just Deadpool. But
no,
the,
more? But more than just Deadpool?
The gag reel.
Oh, there's a gag reel?
And the collection of all of the different shorts and public service announcements and commercials. Turns out I was missing some.
I think I only saw the one public service announcement he did for testicular cancer.
Yes. Well, there was a brief one. Brief. There was a brief one, and then there was a long... There was one that was longer in duration, and then, just to make sure that everybody was equally represented, he did one for women.
Okay, good.
Yeah. There were a lot of things there. I've not watched any of the making of stuff. I watched the deleted scenes, and there are not one, but two audio commentaries.
I like audio commentaries.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Oh, and these are awesome. I'm halfway through the one with Ryan Reynolds. I'm dreading the one with Tim Miller and Rob Liefeld because I don't like Rob Liefeld. But
suck it up.
Tim Miller, you know.
Just listen to it.
It'll be, oh, don't worry. Yeah, because I'm not going to listen to it. Yeah. So
you got this on iTunes, right? Because the physical disc copies aren't out yet.
Correct. Think, right? Correct. Okay. They come out on May 10th. But
that far off?
The digital copies are available right now. And I don't know about the other outlets such as Amazon and such, but with iTunes, via iTunes Extra, you get all of these bonuses. And from what I can tell, it's everything that you're going to get from the actual physical copy.
Yeah, they've done a pretty good job with the iTunes Extras to be able to do all that. Because at first you couldn't get any of that stuff.
Right.
And now they've allowed you to do it both on your computer and on Apple TV, which is nice.
Yes. Yeah, especially on Apple TV, because it's basically what you would be doing with the disc anyway.
Sure.
Now, there are some exclusives that have been announced for the physical copies, though. There is going to be a Blu-ray edition at Best Buy. It's going to be a Steelbook. And
nice.
Target on the Blu-ray is going to have exclusive packaging and a set of collectible postcards.
Oh, I saw those. Those are pretty fun.
Those do look pretty fun. Those are pretty awesome looking. It's going to be tough because I want to have a physical copy just to have a physical copy, even though that's ridiculous because there's no benefit of doing that. And yet it's like, I want the Steelbook, but I want these postcards. Because the postcards are awesome. Anyway, I don't know. I shouldn't buy it twice. But.
You know, as much as I love some of these exclusives that everybody offers, I think of myself, I'm like, well, I'm going to use the code to get it on iTunes anyways. I'm going to watch the movie on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put the disc away in the attic. And I'm never going to see that stuff after I look at it the first time.
Yeah.
Is it really worth paying a few bucks
more? But these postcards, I am actually enough of a Deadpool fan that I would put these up as – like little decorations around my computer room.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to take them, mail them back to yourself.
You know.
You go on a trip and you mail it back to yourself.
I'm going to mail them to Fabian Nicieza and have him sign them and send them back to me. That's what I'm going to do.
He signed stuff for you at Comic-Con last year. Come on.
He did. He personalized it too.
He did.
Yeah. Should I read what it says?
Sure.
I've got it right behind me. I know everybody's dying to know what it says. So Fabian, of course, one of the creators of the Deadpool character. And at New York Comic Con, he had a print that had Deadpool in that, old Uncle Sam pose where he's got the hat and everything. He's pointing at you and it says, "I want you." And then there's a speech bubble above it where he could write things in to customize it. So I have one from Fabian autographed where it says, "I want you to let go of this Star Wars thing." Really, 2.5 good movies out of 6? I do like Jar Jar, though.
I just like the way you tried to tell him what to write, and he called you out.
Oh, that was so awesome. I got torn apart publicly by the creator of Deadpool. How awesome is that?
I think I have a video of that on my phone. I'll have to get that for you and post that on Facebook or something.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Oh, boy.
Wow, that was an awesome memory.
Maybe we'll do it again this year.
I hope so. Wow, I wonder what I could do to, like, well, see, I can't, like, do anything to, like, get myself kicked out.
No.
I don't know. I don't know how to one-up that. That's the thing.
Maybe you could try to tell him that you want to draw part of that, and he'll just smack you around, probably.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, here, let me just fix that, because you didn't have a good...
Don't you think when you created the character,
security have you thrown out?
You should have had him do this instead. We should get him on the podcast.
We should.
He's a cool guy. I bet he'd do
fun.
It.
He was a lot of fun there. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he was.
So anything else caused you to be extremely happy besides Deadpool?
No, because I've had a miserable, miserable week.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And it's insane that the digital release of Deadpool was enough to, for the most part, make up for my miserable week.
Well, that's good.
That's good. It made this week worth it. As if I could otherwise have skipped this week, but yeah. No, it was good. We had some trailers this week too. I know we normally don't talk about trailers, but so you and I coordinate the show notes and who's going to do the show notes. Throughout the week, we kind of pull stuff together in a shared Evernote folder. And then at the last minute, much like Trey Parker and Matt Stone of South Park.
Yeah, we throw it together.
The last minute, we throw it together just before we go on the air. And tonight, neither of us really got to it. And I kept adding stuff rather than putting the stuff that was already added into the show notes. So it's a little bit haphazard tonight. But I know we don't normally cover trailers, but I threw in some trailers here. And I didn't know where to put them in the show notes. So I put them up at the beginning of the notes during like the introduction and the network updates.
Well, I mean, trailers are things we should actually cover. I mean, we really should revisit that and do it because we both like trailers.
Yes.
And it is a good indication of what we're going to get. So I do like seeing them.
We need to do a trailers.
If show. Only we had a show that we talked about doing
those
trailers. Yeah, maybe.
That might be what we use to launch our YouTube channel.
There we go.
Okay. Anyway, so the three that came out recently that are the more prominent ones. Doctor Strange for Marvel. Did you watch that?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
What did you think?
It was kind of a teaser, so there really wasn't a lot given out.
True.
I know nothing about the Doctor Strange character, so I don't have any really way to judge how good that was or what it's going to be like. It looks interesting. I mean, I like the characters they've got. I like the actors they've got portrayed. So,
The casting... controversy aside,
yeah,
let me put it this way. It is a very skilled cast. I don't know a whole lot about Doctor Strange either. As I've talked about before on the Flick Fights podcast, which is part of flickchart.com, shameless plug there that you and I both participate on, along with Nathan Chase, co-founder of flickchart.com. Anyway, as I've talked about there, I'm not really into the supernatural stuff that much. And we talked about it on Flick Fights more in the context of horror movies and things like that. But even with heroes, when it comes to the more magical stuff, like to me, magic in something like this is an excuse to break the rules and do whatever you want. Like, oh, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. You can just magically such and such. And, you know, oh, he's about to blow up. Well, no, I magically teleported him out at the last minute as you saw the building explode, thinking he was inside of it. Well, it's like it's a cop out for most things.
Well, as long as they don't use it that way. I mean, you're right. They could.
But what's stopping you from using it that way? But I mean, that's the thing. You kind of have to define a set of rules around the magic that are somewhat restrictive and still presents challenges to the heroes and something other than, oh, this guy also does magic and he's just stronger at it. Like something that's actually meaningful. And there are some things out there that have done that. And I've come to appreciate those things. But so Dr. Strange is a character I never really got into. I know a little bit about him. Apparently he is a surgeon of some sort. I don't know, a neurosurgeon, brain surgeon, something like that. He's in some sort of an accident, I think a car accident, and his hands, like he's basically lost the use of fine motor control with his hands. So his career is gone, basically. And then he, you know, lo and behold, is approached by this mysterious person and helps him become Doctor Strange. I don't know. And then that's about my experience with Doctor Strange, unless there's some comic like the Infinity Gauntlet or something where he pops up because he needs to move a whole bunch of characters around at once. So they use him as a way to teleport them into like the mystical realm. Ooh. And then teleport them back out again or something. I don't know. I've never cared about the character. So when I was watching this trailer, I was kind of like, eh. Okay, looks okay. Oh, hey, there's the thing like they did in Inception with like a city and you don't know which way is up and down. Oh, okay. Yeah, and then my mom watched it.
Okay.
And she's like tangentially interested in things like she's a very mainstream fan of things like the superhero movies and stuff like that. And, you know, Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and whatever. So she watched it the other night because she's here visiting this week. I played it for her and she loved it. She was like, oh, wow, that looks really awesome. I'm like,
really?
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be good, but.
I'll give it to Marvel. I mean, they've done well with everything they've touched so far. So I'm gonna sit back and wait and see how this is going to turn out because I imagine they're going to do a pretty good job with it.
Yeah, they probably will.
I mean, you know, but other characters that are kind of, you know, on the outskirts of popular culture that, you know, casual fans won't know, mm-hmm. like Ant-Man and so forth, and even Guardians of the Galaxy were, you know, unknown to a lot of people before the movie.
Right.
Received very well by the population, you know. So Doctor Strange, I don't think it'll be any different. I mean, I imagine it'll be a very well-received movie and do very well in the box office.
But you're saying this because of the history that Marvel has.
Right.
I have to say that there have been other films that I've been kind of like, okay. Like, I never cared for Thor that much, but I saw the trailer and I'm like, okay, well, that really looks good. Never got into Ant-Man at all. Saw the trailer and I'm like, that looks really good. Okay, I could get into that. Never got into Doctor Strange. Saw the trailer and I'm like, eh. So we're assuming it's going to be good, but not because of what we've seen so far, because of our faith in Marvel as a studio.
Right, right.
So that doesn't really say a lot for this trailer.
But was this a full trailer or was this a teaser? I mean, this seems pretty short to me. It didn't really give us any context. So I imagine we're going to get something later with more meat in it that we're going to go, oh, okay, you know. Or maybe then we'll still be like, eh, you know. But I have faith. I have drank the Kool-Aid. I'm on board.
Okay. I mean, I'm obviously going to see it, but this is the least not optimistic. This is the least interested I've ever been in any of the Marvel films so far.
Okay.
So, yeah. Now, a film I really had no interest in at all until I saw the trailer was Snowden.
Oh, I have not seen this one yet.
Ah, this is fairly recent. I think maybe just in the last day or two. Of course, based on Edward Snowden. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be lame. Who cares? I mean, I care about the real world scenario going on, but I really therefore don't care about what some filmmaker and his interpretation of things is, et cetera. But this trailer looked really good. I forget who's doing the movie. I don't know. Is it like Oliver Stone or somebody like somebody very prominent? And it's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing the lead character. It's really good.
Hmm.
Yeah, check out the trailer.
I'm on board with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's done pretty well in everything I've seen him in.
What impressed me is they do a really good job of making you kind of paranoid for his character. Like it really almost seems like a Jason Bourne style thriller, like the first Jason Bourne film, but without the mm-hmm. physical aspect of it. Like it seems very much a spy thriller.
Okay.
So I'm sure they embellished some things for the film, but.
Well, knowing that it's good. Oliver Stone, you know, I always kind of question his movies, how true to life they are, you know, what do you take liberties with? He does good stuff, but.
Yeah, it'll be entertaining. I don't expect it to be a documentary. Like, I'm not going to walk out of this thing, oh, that's what really happened. Well, no. But it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we have a trailer for the next R-rated superhero film.
Okay.
The Killing Joke.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is one of DC's animated films. This is going to be straight to DVD. But it's going to be R-rated, which is probably a good thing because the comic book that it's based off of is pretty intense.
Pretty dark.
Yes. And it's another one of those character defining comic books. It ranks right up there with The Dark Knight Returns, probably not quite as high, but it's right up there. The Dark Knight Returns, Year One, and The Killing Joke. Those are really the three Batman stories that they're kind of the pinnacle of Batman. So the trailer looks pretty good. I mean, it's there's nothing about the trailer that looks particularly impressive other than the fact that if you're familiar with the comic, they obviously do a very good job of adapting it. So.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen that one either yet, but I did see that was out. I'm going to watch it probably after the show.
Okay. And you should read the comic book.
Yeah. I did not read that. So
I still, I should. We talked before about this, right? You've not read The Dark Knight Returns?
No, okay. I have not.
Remind me, like seriously, offline at some point, remind me if I have to buy it on Amazon and have it shipped to you. No, seriously, dude, this is one of those things like you have to watch this.
Okay.
Or you have to read this. This is like up there with you have to have seen Star Wars. You have to watch Deadpool. You have to have at least seen an episode of anything from Star Trek. And you have to have read Dark Knight Returns.
Okay. I will put that on my list. I will remind you at some point and say, hey,
good.
Hook me up, dude.
I've got a copy of it. I've probably got multiple physical copies of it around here somewhere and probably some electronic copies. I mean, I can, you know, next time we get together, I'll throw you my iPad for a while or something, but I don't know. Anyway.
Sounds like a plan.
So now that we're like 20 minutes into the episode.
Start the show, yeah.
We can move on from what was supposed to have been the introduction.
Yeah, and it's going to get worse, too, because, like I said, we threw the notes together and our lightning round, there's some things that I think we're going to want to talk about more than just, you know, lightning quick. So,
and the opposite, in the main news, there are some things that might end up spawning complete discussions and might be like, okay, and we're done.
We might talk about it, and it had nothing to say. So,
This episode is going to be titled In Shambles. That's what we'll use something like that as the title this week.
That works for me. Let's see here. In the news, what did we find interesting this week? Oh, I thought this was pretty cool, or at least telling, I guess, of today's society. You remember Transformers Age of Extinction, right?
I know where you're going with this. Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
And you know,
that's the one I've watched six times, and I'm halfway through the film. Yes.
You got to just sit down and you know what you need to do? handcuff yourself to the chair.
I was going to say staple gun myself to the couch.
Out of reach so you can't change the channel.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just make you watch it. And we'll put the DVD on replay so it plays it over and over again.
Put toothpicks under my eyelids.
Until somebody comes home to rescue you. Well, anyway, there's been a lawsuit going on over this movie, actually in China, so it doesn't really make our news around here, but they're being sued for $27.7 million over the failure to have a logo appear in the movie, in the final cut of the movie. I guess, what was the company? Wulong Cars Tourism. They're a state-backed travel company in China. They paid $750,000 to have a logo for their resort chain or their resort property appear in the movie.
Okay.
I guess the movie was filmed in the area there, and I guess the resort was maybe even tangentially associated with the movie and part of it. And they wanted this logo in there, obviously, to gain advertising for them. And it never made the final cut. So they took $750,000 and didn't put it in. I guess that would be something you'd sue over.
That's not the part that cracks me up about this. I mean,
what's the part that cracks you up?
Like, I'm reading that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how stupid can you be to like not do that? You had a deal, a contract,
right? Oh yeah,
$750,000, and then you don't do it, and then you admit that you don't. It's like, yeah, well, we didn't do it. It's like, well, duh. But that's not the part that gets me.
Okay, what's the part that gets you?
I'm so excited about this. Can I read this part?
Please.
Okay. This is Hollywood Reporter, I think, is where we got this. Yeah. Hollywood Reporter. I'm going to read this verbatim. Paramount and China Movie Channel, who co-produced the movie, admitted that the logo didn't make the final cut. They did try to make up for it, though, by shooting an advertisement for the resort. And the production team left sets and props behind on the resort property, which the resort could use to leverage as an attraction. Now, I don't remember which website I was reading off the top of my head. It sounds like the type of thing I would have read from, like, ain'titcoolnews.com or something like that. But it was, and I'm going to paraphrase what was said here, but basically it's like, okay, so you had a deal to put product placement in your film, something Michael Bay is known for. You decided, yeah, we're not going to do it, but we're going to leave behind all our crap that we didn't want to bother cleaning up.
Right.
And you can have all our trash in case someone like wants to go there and like get selfies with it or something.
That's easily worth $750,000.
How is that a benefit to these people? They want to have their logo where everybody's seeing it. They don't want to just have a pile of stuff for the people who are already coming there.
And this is the movie that really knocked it out of the park in China. It made $320 million in China.
Yeah.
So a lot of Chinese people went to see this movie, and to have your, logo appear there would have been just, bonkers insane for them.
Just excuse me for saying it this way, but the balls on Michael Bay.
Yeah.
To make this movie, again, notorious for product placement in all of his films, and say, yeah, well, I know you gave us money, but we're not going to put your logo in there. It's not like, there's a guy that breaks into song and dance on the street about this company or something. It's a logo in the background.
Right.
You could have said, oh crap, we forgot to put that in, and have like a CG artist
out of it. Right.
Exactly. But it's like, nah, yeah, you paid for it. We're not even denying it. We decided not to do it, but here have our trash. Dude, Michael Bay, come on.
I know that it galls me that a company would do that and just not own up to it. I mean, it's not like we're asking you to, here, put this actor in this role that we're going to pay you for. No, it's a logo.
It's a little thing.
Literally Chinese characters making up a logo they could have put anywhere and made it work.
And no apology either. I mean, it's like, oh, shoot. Yeah, I knew we had a list somewhere of things we were supposed to put. We forgot to put that in, guys. We're sorry. Here's your money back.
Right.
Here's a public apology. But no.
No, here's our stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't want to haul this all the way back to the U.S., so just take it.
Wow. Yeah, good old Michael Bay. Making the world a better place.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that because it was Transformers. I know how much you love that franchise and love Michael Bay.
I do love the franchise.
Now, the thing I thought that was funny, I didn't put it in the notes here, but the story I read said this lawsuit was brought up in 2013. It finally got heard in 2014. Or no, it finally got registered in the courts in 2014, and they're finally just hearing it now.
Wow.
So
here's the thing, though. You have to keep in mind, this is a state-backed travel company. And by state-backed, we actually mean, you know, country government-backed.
Yeah, China.
Right.
Yeah, state being China, right?
And I know that sounds obvious, but there's probably somebody out there who didn't get it. So so it's backed by China, the government. And there are movies here that don't do really well, but they make a killing in China, and so they get sequel upon sequel. China is a massive, massive, massive market for the box office. But of course, they have very strict rules about everything. So for them to piss China off this badly, I mean, Paramount, a major film studio,
mm-hmm.
to get them upset and then just say, whatever. It's not just going to affect Paramount in the future. It would not surprise me if China starts treating the entire Hollywood film industry in a very different way than it does currently. I mean, this could have repercussions for film studios across the board, whether it be how they're treated when filming in China, mm-hmm. or, you know, other product placement deals or box office restrictions or whatever.
And that's a market you don't really want to piss off.
No, not at all.
Okay, because I mean, I heard Hardcore Henry made awesome money in China, right?
I bet it did. The government's keeping it secret.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, they're not releasing the numbers. Hey, everybody I know who saw that movie said it was actually really good.
I'm not questioning that.
And he's right there in the chat room. Hi, Joel. Everybody I know who saw that movie. Yes, I only know one person who saw the movie.
I was waiting for that. Like, how many people?
Shut up.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. And Joel say, make the film studio shoot in Canada instead. Okay, yeah.
What are you talking about, Joel? The films have been shooting in Canada for ages now. Toronto and Vancouver. And
he's just putting a plug for the home team.
Half the TV shows are filmed. Well, yeah.
So what else we got in the news?
That's okay.
Here?
We steal all Canada's talent. It's fine.
We do. Yeah. Well, we probably go shoot there because probably less taxes for us.
Well, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nintendo NX coming in March 2017.
Yeah. Yeah. I threw this in the show notes.
I did not read this article yet.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's not really a lot of news about it. It was announced that the Nintendo NX is coming, which we kind of all knew about. It's going to be released in March of 2017. So, you know, less than a year away. And one of the other big announcements, which made some people a little bit upset, they've been working on a new Zelda game for a really long time now. And Zelda has been, for the most part, noticeably absent from the Wii U system. And people have been like, okay, well, where's the Zelda game? Where are the games in general? I mean, the Wii and the Wii U really have not been, like, they've been successes for Nintendo, but they've also been failures for Nintendo as well. It's like, I don't know. I don't really understand what's going on there. We've had a Wii and we have a Wii U, and they're good systems, and there are some good games for them, but overall, there's not many.
Right. And it's different than the other next-gen platforms, too. It's not really... when I think of next-gen platforms, I don't really think of the Wii U. It's not really part of that class. It's still, you know, new generation for them and good hardware, but it doesn't fit into the same category as the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4.
Right. Yeah. No, it's not at all thought of in that way. And yet, back in the day, Nintendo ran the home video game industry.
Oh, certainly.
I mean, it was Nintendo, and everybody else was a pretender. So they're hoping to bring things back with the Nintendo NX, and for their sake, I hope they do too. But anyway, so the new Zelda game is going to be headlining on the Nintendo NX. It will also be available for the Wii U, but we're not going to see the game until the NX comes out. So that, I mean, that's really all the news on it. I guess the Wii U might stop production later this year, like at the end of the year.
Oh, really? Wow.
There's been some speculation on that. I don't know.
Yeah, I was looking at the article that we had in here on Dark Horizons, and they're saying, let's see, 4 years after it came out. So, yeah, so the the Wii U is 4 years old. That's not a bad life for a game system, I suppose.
No, it's about time.
Yeah, and they did say they also confirmed there are no plans to show off the console at E3 this year. Instead, they're going to focus, their focus will be around the new Legend of Zelda game, which will be playable for the first time at this year's show. They're planning on both a Wii U version and an NX version to release simultaneously in 2017.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that they're going to focus on Zelda at E3 instead of NX. Because I think in one school of thought is you focus on the big game system release. So E3 is, in theory, the perfect place to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if Nintendo's been failing because of lack of compelling games, or at least the perception of lack of compelling games, which really is probably more important, maybe it makes sense for them to focus on a really big game. If this game is really good, I mean, they're putting all their eggs in one basket there, but maybe that's a good way to go.
Pretty well-known name brand for them to have. And if they don't have the game hardware ready to show off, you might as well show off a game that gets you a lot of traction.
But it's got to be a good game. It's not going to be, I mean, the character itself can't,
right,
you know, we're not going to fall for that anymore. This is 2016. Other game companies have tried and failed miserably, and just, you know, slapping Zelda on the front of a game and saying, oh, get excited about it, it's not enough.
Right. The thing that makes me wonder about this is that they say it's going to be for the Wii U and the NX, and the NX is supposed to be on par with what the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are. So how do you do a game that's supposed to be a big release for you on both versions of this that are pretty widely separated as far as what their specs are?
Well, one's going to, you're talking about the difference between the NX and the Wii U?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Wii U one, I think, is just, you know, lower resolution, frame rate's not as good, things like that. I mean, there are games that have been released on both the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, there's The Last of Us, and there, you know, there's a new version mm-hmm. of The Last of Us. There's Beyond Two Souls, I think, is coming out with the PS4 version soon. You know, there are different situations where we've seen older gen and new gen versions of games being released at the same time. It's just the next gen sometimes has additional features or has better DLC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. I usually just imagine that they're holding stuff back from the version for the higher end system than they could have done if they just released it for the higher gen system and just said, that's it. You know, could you have done a better game and be done with it and not have to worry about dumbing that one down a little bit to make it compatible against the other one?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, let's see. Where are we here? Oh, this I thought was a very interesting topic, and I figured this could be a little bit more of a discussion for us than I maybe originally planned. Recently, 20th Century Fox announced it's not going to be doing any of its showcasing of movies in trailers and sneak peeks in Hall H at San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a little bizarre. Now, you know, they're saying they're doing it because of privacy concerns. Stuff gets pirated. Stuff gets leaked. It gets online pretty quickly. And they don't want to have that. They want to have the marketing more on their terms. But, you know, I just don't see why this is that big of a deal to them. I mean, obviously, it's going to be shown. It's going to be getting out there. But don't you want that? I mean, you know, they also mentioned that, you know, Disney's thinking about pulling out of San Diego Comic-Con as well for showing their stuff. And, you know, last year they showed sneak peeks for Deadpool, X-Men Apocalypse, and Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that worked out really badly for them, right? I mean,
oh, it's horrible.
You know, you showed footage of Deadpool when people really wanted to see it. I mean,
you got people excited about your films, but you accidentally got too many people excited. You don't want that.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, this whole thing is like, why is this an issue? Why do they not want to do this? The story mentioned that two of those three movies from Disney, they actually had to release official versions of the trailers and stuff online to let everybody see it. And they wanted to get it released in the way they wanted to be seen, not just somebody's cell phone shaky cam, of the footage. But still, is that a bad thing?
Right. I read that line. This is at Dark Horizons. And I don't know that this is Dark Horizons' perspective on it necessarily as it is them just accurately reporting it, because it's true. But yeah, they explained this last year. They showed sneak peeks of Deadpool, X-Men Apocalypse, and Suicide Squad. And then two of the three, they had to release an official version online afterwards as a result. It's like, well, yeah.
Exactly.
Were you not going to do that anyway? I mean, come on, you're releasing the stuff to get people excited about the film. The only situation in which you should take something to a convention and then not very shortly, immediately, possibly, release it online is if it's a full screener, if it's the pilot episode of a TV show, or if it's a sneak preview of the actual film. Like if you're showing Deadpool in its entirety at San Diego Comic-Con, yeah, you want it to be a closed screening.
Right.
But, sit there and monitor the people in the audience. I mean, they expect that. Make sure they don't have their cell phone on. I don't know. Bring a full screener. Bring the freaking trailers, because you're going to release this stuff anyway. You have millions and millions of dollars that you put in to marketing and creating the trailers and paying to buy advertising slots on television and Super Bowl commercials, et cetera, et cetera. But you're worried about the fact that, if I take it to Comic-Con, I might then have to put it on the internet too,
right,
before
people
someone
are
else
find
does.
Out about this. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, last year at New York Comic Con, I think you went to go see, I think it was the panel for, I'm not sure what it was.
Was it the one I went to and you didn't?
Yeah.
Con Man?
You went to see Con Man's panel, and I stayed behind to see the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Panel, and they actually premiered the episode that was going to be on, I think, the week after. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was going to be on TV within a week or so, but they walked through the aisles continuously to make sure nobody had their cameras out. There was no cell phones being, used to film this and stuff and put it online early. So, I mean, you can do that, but again, why? What's the big deal? I mean,
yeah,
you want this kind of publicity. You want fans talking about this thing. I mean, look at the teaser we saw at Celebration for Rogue One.
Oh,
it was what?
Gorgeous.
10 seconds of stuff that had nothing to do with the movie. It was just something they threw together at the last minute to bring to Celebration. And they asked everybody not to film it. They didn't want this going out because it was too early. It was just, I think they had a thing with, Rogue Nation was coming out for the Mission Impossible series.
But
and
they weren't walking up. I mean, I sat the aisle.
Yeah.
They were not walking up and down the aisles, keeping people from filming it. In fact, I kind of wonder in hindsight if maybe they didn't want people to.
I kind of think so, too.
Got on the internet since they couldn't officially do it themselves.
Yep. But yeah, at the same time, it's like, okay, here we're going to show this to you. Don't tell anybody about it. That's the saying. They know you're going to. They want you to talk about it. They want this stuff to be talked about on the internet and talked about with your friends. And I mean, that's how these things evolve, right?
Yeah.
This just seems like such a bizarre story. Then why 20th Century Fox is going to purposely not show anything at San Diego Comic-Con? I don't get it. I really don't. I wish they would come out with something to say why this is happening, or maybe they should come on the show and talk to us about this.
Yeah. Seriously. Maybe we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. We don't mind being proven wrong.
I mean, I've heard what's the phrase? There is no such thing as bad publicity.
We try hard, though, don't we? No. I mean, if anybody knows someone at 20th Century Fox and can put us in touch with them, I mean, we could hunt them down ourselves, but, have them on. Because I'm sure that there's maybe a perspective of this that is not as ridiculous as we feel.
Right.
I'm waiting for San Diego Comic-Con to come out, and all of these other films people are talking about them, and then Fox is like, well, we have stuff too. And then they end up releasing the trailers for things anyway. And it's like, okay, well, before it was, they were forced to release them because of stuff leaked. And now they were forced to release them officially online at the time of San Diego Comic Con because nobody's talking about them otherwise.
Right.
It's like either way, they're going to be forced to.
And I also, I'm on the side of things where if I'm at one of those conventions and I get to see something that nobody's seen yet, I feel, you know, privileged almost. I feel like, oh, cool, I get to see something exclusive.
Yeah.
And then I always feel bad, like, when it's online, like, 15 minutes later. Like, couldn't you wait a day? Give me a day worth of gloating to my friends that, hey, I saw the new trailer for so-and-so, you know.
You're flying back from the convention, and as you're sitting on your flight, it's like, I paid how much for this plane ticket? I could have stayed right at home and seen it online.
Right. It was online 5 seconds after they showed it to us in the room. And I waited in that line for 3 hours to get a ticket for that room and stood there and, yeah.
But that's not what conventions are about. It's about the experience.
It is. And those creepy unicorns from Geico. That was
oh, my gosh.
Line.
I forgot all about those. Those were the creepiest things.
I'm here to help.
Were
those
all
the same
kinds
unicorns
of...
they used for the Squatty Potty?
I would be less freaked out by the Squatty Potty unicorn. Seriously. Sitting on a potty with a Squatty Potty in my place in line, I'd be less freaked out by that than those Geico unicorns. Of course, they succeeded because here we are mentioning the G word on our podcast. But was it Geico or Progressive?
Good question.
We could have the whole wrong. Oh,
we could, yeah.
Isn't that just karma?
I know.
But man, those things were creepy, and we saw a lot of cosplayers there. A lot of really good ones and a lot of, you know, a handful of people looked like maybe they threw it together in the restroom just outside the convention hall or something, you know. But, man, nothing was as creepy as those unicorns.
Mm-hmm.
I still have nightmares about those.
I'm glad I could remind you of that.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Why don't you take the next one here?
Well, because in order to do that, I would have to actually search through the... Evernote list here. Let me see. Okay, here we go.
Let's see. Amazon locks up top games behind a Prime paywall.
Yeah, this is interesting. What's going on is there were actually a few different websites that were talking about this. Engadget, Lifehacker, I think IO9 mentioned it. There are some video games for the PlayStation and the Xbox that in order to order them, for purchase, you have to be a Prime member. Not to get the two-day shipping. That's not the point. The point is...
Just to order it?
For example, I'm looking at a screenshot here. This was... I believe this one was on Engadget. And it's for Grand Theft Auto 5 for the PlayStation 4. And it's got a screenshot. And you can select the different game system you want, whatever. It's got the cover art. 4.5 stars out of 1,600 reviews, etc., etc. $39.88. And over on the right where you click buy, there's a box and it says exclusively for Prime members. This item at $39.88 is reserved for Prime members. Details. And then a button instead of the buy button. It says try Prime for free for 30 days. Cancel any time.
That is bizarre. Is that just a special price for that or... The game itself, I mean, they wouldn't exclude non-Prime members from buying the game at all, right?
I imagine maybe you could buy them from third-party sellers. But in order to buy them straight from Amazon, you apparently have to have a Prime membership. Apparently, I'm reading more through the article here. In the UK, for example, you need to have a Prime membership to buy Spectre, the James Bond film on DVD.
Really?
Yep.
I am astounded. That is really bizarre. Yeah. Why would they limit that?
Well, I can understand the desire to get people to sign up for Prime. Obviously, this is something that makes Amazon a lot of money. But... I wonder if they're not going to be pissing some people off otherwise. I mean, one of the big things about Amazon is that they're competing with brick and mortar stores where I can go and pick up the game, go home, and immediately pop it in my console, immediately pick up my controller, and immediately stare at the screen for 2 hours while it downloads a day one patch.
Mm-hmm.
If I order it on Amazon, I can't start those hours and hours of staring at the screen for the patch to download until after it comes in the mail 2 days later. So they're competing with the instant gratification of either driving out to the store and getting what you want, or of impulse buying while you're in the store anyway. Now, yeah, this saves you the trouble of having to drive to the store, but you have to wait 2 days. So their main competition with this is going to be brand loyalty to Amazon, and you have to introduce better pricing, which mm-hmm. they've done. And that's why Amazon has been so successful. They make it easy to shop from home, easy to impulse buy from the web, and really good prices. If you frustrate people too much, though, they're going to go back to Best Buy. They're going to go back to Walmart and Target. So this is kind of a risky move, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I mean, especially in this day of instant gratification of online purchase through, you know, PlayStation Network or the whatever the network is on Xbox One. Yeah, why would I want to wait?
Yeah. Pupuk in the chat room is mentioning Amazon's opening stores soon. So,
oh, that's true, too. Yeah.
I guess maybe. Of course, they're not everywhere. So, you know, I don't know that that's going to compensate for this issue. But, yeah, that's a good point. They're going to be opening brick-and-mortar stores in a lot of some areas. So
now there is one thing at the beginning of this article. It says update, and this may make the whole thing a moot point, but it says update. Some UK listings are starting to switch back, suggesting the Prime block was a mistake. At the time of writing, Grand Theft Auto 5 remains Prime only in the US. However, the original article follows. So I just looked up right now on there, and it didn't say it was Prime only. I'm not logged in with my Prime account, so I would have thought it would have said something, but.
Maybe it's time locked.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, maybe it's, you know, end dated by now and you can order for anybody, but wow, that's a little bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why anybody would want to limit who can buy something from you. I mean, yeah, give me a benefit if I, you know, pony up for your Prime service, but don't limit anybody else entirely, because if you get pissed off, you're going to go elsewhere. I mean, I'll go down to my local GameStop. I'll go on to, you know, some other online shopping site. Is there other online shopping sites besides Amazon? I don't know.
They don't want you to think there are.
No, they don't think there are either.
Give it to me, but charge me full price. Obviously, $39 is cheap.
Yep.
But, you know. Yeah. Anyway. You know, we don't really have a weekly What Were They Thinking?
It's just Kanye didn't have any news this week.
I know, Kanye has been kind of quiet. But
I'll have a talk with him.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some things overall this week that I think you could argue may or may not have. Yeah, I kind of like the lawsuit one, but.
Yeah, that is kind of a What Were They Thinking? At least what was Michael Bay thinking?
Yeah. Well, there are some things here that I think people will find questionable in the lightning round too. Wow, where to begin? Well, I'll just rattle through them and we'll go back and pick apart the ones we think are worth talking about. Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. We've talked before about the fact that there's going to be an R-rated cut on DVD or Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's going to have an additional 30 minutes of footage.
30 minutes.
Not bonus footage. There's apparently going to be 2 hours worth of bonus stuff. This is 30 minutes of footage placed back into the film, giving it a runtime of 181 hours, which are 100.
Seems like 181
minutes. Yeah. Which would be 3 hours of content instead of the 2.5 we have right now.
Wow.
DreamWorks Animation has been acquired by NBC Universal, which itself had been acquired previously by Comcast. So Comcast is continuing its bid to take over the world.
Doing a good job.
Yeah. Some casting news. Alicia Vikander, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, is going to be the new Lara Croft. Not okay. Daisy Ridley. And I'm
so you're happy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I am. We'll come back to this one in a minute, I'm sure. Pearl Mackey is going to be the new Doctor Who companion. We'll come back to that one, too. Jamie Foxx is in talks for The Happy Time Murders, which apparently is kind of a film noir movie where puppets and humans live together in perfect harmony, except the puppets are actually second-class citizens.
Well, yeah.
And the puppets who were cast members from a 1980s family show are being murdered one by one. And Jamie Foxx is a detective coming out of retirement to help hunt down what's going on. I was looking at various articles on this, and they're saying, oh, it's LA Confidential meet such and such. Not one of them referred to Roger Rabbit. But it seems to me like it's the concept for Roger Rabbit, but very dark and definitely R-rated. They have confirmed it. It's going to have an R rating.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So this is not at all for kids of any age. This apparently is going to be, you know, very much an adult movie. Not due to sexual content, but due to violence and such. So
basically we're going to get to see a bunch of puppets getting the stuffing kicked out of them, right?
Well, the one photo that one of the websites had, yeah, it was a murder scene with it looked like an oversized rabbit or something with stuffing coming out of a gut wound.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that. But it's so funny.
Yeah. What do you think the puppets think, Lou?
I know. I'm
they
sorry.
Don't think
I,
it's
I
funny.
I should be more sensitive. I know.
It's not funny to the puppets. There's our episode title. Moving on. Will Ferrell, who has played George W. Bush before, he's going to be playing Ronald Reagan in a new movie called Reagan.
Really?
Oh, it gets better. Apparently, the film is about the time period at which Ronald Reagan starts to get old enough that he starts having issues with dementia. And one of his staff members convinces him that he's an actor playing the role of the president. And see where this is going?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my.
There you have it. I don't know if you're old enough to remember what. I'm sorry. This is not an old joke.
Yeah, whatever.
Watership Down. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. I remember that I've watched it a couple of times, but I don't remember much about the content of it. All I do remember is that it was either late 70s or very, very early 80s. It was an animated movie about rabbits. Not cartoony at all. And it was very dark.
I don't think I ever actually saw it. I mean, I remember the name. I remember the movie being out, but I don't remember anything about it, really.
It kind of reminded me of Secrets of Nim, but more adult and darker. Like, I remember as a kid not understanding much about what was going on in the movie, and yet knowing that it was way over my head. Like, it was one of the first times where I watched something and felt like, okay, I there's no way I'm even supposed to be getting this. I know that there's stuff going on here that's completely over my head. I'm not, like, trying to understand it isn't going to get me anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like, really dark. But anyway, it's going to be remade as a mini series by BBC for Netflix.
Okay.
So that sounds interesting to me. I mean
BBC does good stuff, and you know, being a series on Netflix bodes well too, because they've got some good content lately.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah. Sylvester Stallone, we talked before about the fact that he's not going to be playing in the Rocky television series. He will, however, be playing in a television series called Omerta, I guess. It's based on the last novel by the Godfather author Mario Puzo. And he's going to be playing mob boss Raymond Aprile.
Okay, I'll go with that.
So there you go. He's going to be playing in an ongoing television role. Is this Stallone's first TV role?
Could be. I don't remember him ever doing anything on TV.
Yeah, I think this may be. Now, he's also still working on getting The Expendables made into a television series as well.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if he's going to be starring in it or not. Maybe he's just producing.
Right.
But, yeah, but he'll be playing a mob boss.
Hmm. Cool.
Kind of interesting. 24 Legacy has been ordered by Fox. And apparently Kiefer Sutherland is slated to play the lead.
Why don't they just bring the series back? I mean, it was popular. They did that other, you know, 6-hour version of it recently, right? A couple years ago.
Because they overdid it.
Yeah, but they keep bringing it back. Why don't you bring it back, you know, entirely and have a new series out of it?
If they do a new series of it, they're basically committing to having new content every year. And instead, we're getting content every few years, which I think is probably a better idea because I think they suffered from overexposure a little bit. And for the most part, it was the same thing over and over again. I mean, it wasn't literally the same thing. And I really enjoyed the series, and I don't think it ever really got stale to the point where it was bad. But I do kind of see where maybe it was running its course after eight seasons.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of series need to end at some point. You might as well end on a high note instead of letting it get bad and then everybody remembers the last couple of bad seasons when it chokes off the air. So, yeah, I see your point there of, you know, doing it every couple of years and having good stories and coming back to it. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like if they keep coming back to it, there should be enough demand to see more of it. So,
yeah.
Well, we'll see what this legacy turned out to be. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, just 12 episodes like the last one was or what.
But. Yeah. I don't know if it's, hopefully it'll be a full 24 episodes again.
You know, when that series first came out, I was always waiting for that one episode in the middle where it was just a dark screen and snoring. For
yeah. Yeah. Him on a 6-hour plane flight and he's just like staring out the window.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Can I get another bag of nuts? Yeah. Sci-fi plans a pilot for a Krypton series. And yes, I mean Krypton as in the home planet of Superman.
Hmm.
This would apparently cover the like a generation or two before Superman himself and all of the different politics and stuff going on the planet Krypton. But I think that, you know, we said we'd read through all of these and we come back to them. I have one more to get to and I'll come back to this. Marvel's Inhumans no longer has a release date. People are speculating whether it will be canceled entirely and the Inhuman storyline could have brought into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or what's going on. But as of right now, the Inhumans film, while I don't think it's been officially canceled, it officially no longer has a release date.
Hmm.
So back to this Krypton series. Everybody dies.
Spoilers.
Spoiler. Yeah.
But now, so, also, I mean, on Krypton, nobody has superpowers.
Right.
So it's just like basically a drama series about what happens on Krypton as if it was Earth. You know, I mean,
yeah.
How is that interesting?
It's like what BSG did with Caprica, only less interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that just sounds really, really boring.
Right. Yeah, of all of sci-fi's recent series, this one is one I'm very
yeah, and of late they've been doing a really good job of getting science fiction back on their network.
Right. Wow, no more
this
wrestling.
Just seems awful bizarre.
Yeah. I don't get this one.
You know, if I can derail this conversation for just 1 second, speaking of Krypton and super, you know, people, are you up to date with Supergirl?
No, I'm getting there, but okay. I'm still pretty far behind.
Okay. Have you seen episodes where there's other, you know, people from Krypton?
Her aunts, I believe.
Yeah. And the guy she's been kind of working with and stuff. And
yeah, I've seen part of that.
So there was an episode, maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 or 6 episodes ago where there was like 30 flying super people from Krypton.
Spoiler.
So you're really far behind. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Wait, because I remember Brainiac.
Why are there all these super people on the planet? And what you know, it.
Well, it, that I don't know, but
it seems to break continuity with what we know. If there's this many people out there that are as powerful as Superman, I'm like, why is this a thing now? It's like,
do you remember in Guardians of the Galaxy the character called the Collector?
Yes.
Okay, and you remember basically what his shtick was?
Pretty much, yeah, I think so.
Okay, collecting, you know, almost a zookeeper of sorts. He goes and collects right. different species and artifacts from across the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So Brainiac is basically the Collector, but more of a supervillain. And he takes an entire city from Krypton, shrinks it down, and keeps it in a bottle. I forget the name of the city. I forget. I'm not, mm-hmm. you know, Superman's never really been my wheelhouse, but so arguably there is at least an entire city of Kryptonians who have survived.
Okay.
Now maybe they're in prison, but still plus remember, there was that whole negative verse or something where that prison was.
Yeah. That's what. You know, those escapees from Fort Ross, they call it, was on the show.
I forget.
That are on Earth now. But
right. So it could be like more Kryptonians that were imprisoned who got released. Doesn't mean that, you know, they were.
But it just seems like it's very bizarre that we have that many superpowered people that nobody really even knows about. You know, it's like, I don't know. I find it a little hard to believe.
Yeah, Kandor, I think, is the name of it. See, this is why we have a chat room.
It is. They keep us on track.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not optimistic about this one at all. Pearl Mackey is the Doctor Who companion.
Yeah, what has she done? I don't recognize that name.
I don't know. Of course, to be fair, I also didn't recognize any of the other companions before either.
That's true.
But there have been some photos released of Pearl Mackey with Peter Capaldi.
Yep.
And all I can think is that in every single one of these photos, you have the Doctor and then you have a fan taking a selfie with him. That's what each one of these photos looks like. It looks like Pearl Mackey is some Uber fan who's taking a selfie with Peter Capaldi. Like, it just, there's something about it that I don't know what it is.
Yep. Let's see. She was born in 1987, so she was born the year I graduated from high school. Great. I feel old.
You should. I don't know if I was in high school at that age.
Oh, God. Here we go. let's see. She was known for Svengali and Doctors, which is a TV series.
Okay, yeah. I know of Doctors. Okay.
Svengali, I don't know. It tells the story of Dixie, a small town guy with a big dream. He leaves a humble Welsh mining town for the bright lights of London.
Okay.
Have not heard of that.
Her character's name is apparently Bill.
Bill, okay.
Bill. Which is, I guess, short for William.
Maybe.
Billy, maybe? Okay. I don't know.
Didn't we already have a Billy?
Yeah. Well, no, not as a character, as an actress.
Oh, that was the actress name. That's right. Oh, boy. Okay.
So how about Alicia Vikander? It's the new Lara Croft.
I can kind of see that.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I mean, she's you know, not bad to look at. So that's one thing.
Yeah. Well, and she can definitely act. I mean,
she can definitely act.
Ex Machina.
Yep.
Wow. And she won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress from The Danish Girl.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
Which I've not seen.
I guess she can act a little bit. I mean, you know, if she won an Academy Award, you know.
Yeah. So that's good, and it also gives me hope that they're rebooting the franchise in a good way. And the other thing that gives me hope is that they're focusing on the quality of the actress and on the...
Not how closely she matches the character in the video games.
Historical, over-exaggerated physicality of the character. Yes. Yeah. So
It's a very political correct way to put that, Eric. That was very good.
Yes. Back in the day of the PlayStation 1, when the original Tomb Raider came out, it was awesome because it was a female hero and all that, who basically wore not quite Daisy Duke shorts and, shall we say, was very top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I don't think she had a problem with, you know, drowning.
Right. Right. That being the other joke. Because that sold. And back then it was still believed that only boys play video games, typically younger boys, you know, teenage variety. Mm-hmm. Now we know that that's not the case, both regarding males versus females, but also regarding age barriers. And when I saw this earlier today, one website, I'm not going to mention which website because otherwise I have a lot of respect for this website. And I think that they were making the joke in kind of a somewhat dismissive way. So I don't even know that they were making the joke themselves as much as kind of getting it out there right off the bat, because everybody else is going to end up talking about it ad nauseum on Twitter, mm-hmm. and probably already are. But they said, break out the padded bras. Yeah, Alicia Vikander has been cast as Lara Croft. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't have to worry about that. If she can act and she does the role really well, that's all I care about.
But I saw that, and the first thing I thought of was, oh, are you guys really that shallow? And then I realized, no, they aren't that shallow. They, again, you know, they're addressing the elephant in the room that other people are going to bring up, and it hit me, and people are going to be bringing that up mm-hmm. on Twitter. So I decided, you know what? I have a busy day at work today. I'm just going to stay off Twitter entirely, because it just, you know, that that's going to be all people are going to talk about. They're not going to be able to get around the fact that she's a really good actress. You want this franchise to be rebooted in a good way and have some actual quality films come out.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this is going to be what's discussed.
Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I just looked her up on IMDb. I didn't realize she was in the new Jason Bourne movie coming out.
I didn't either.
So cool.
Yeah. Really good actress. I tell you what, the more I watch Ex Machina, the more I have just a crazy amount of respect for her, for Donald Gleason.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, Oscar Isaac. Like, when I watch The Force Awakens, it's a different experience for me now with Oscar Isaac, because I watch him and I'm like, is he really a nice guy or is he just acting? Because, like, now to me, Oscar Isaac is this frighteningly scary, mm-hmm. like, alpha male, scary guy.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to separate the two.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh. Ex Machina, if anybody out there has not seen it, an incredible film.
You should see what he does to BB-8 in the next movie. Just saying, you know, he's a scary guy, and that, you know, that poor little droid.
We find out that BB-8 was just the prototype. Finn is really the astromech droid, and oh, what a great film, though.
Yeah.
Man. I forget what I've got that ranked on my flick chart, but when I first ranked it, I remember looking at it and saying, am I ranking this too high? And then I think later I went back and re-ranked it just in case, and it ended up being ranked even higher.
Cool.
Such a great movie. Anyway, we're over an hour. We should probably...
Yeah, we'll get to our box office results here and kind of wrap things up. Let's see. Last week at the box office, we had The Jungle Book taking number one for the second week in a row. It made another $61 million, bringing it total to $192. Hmm. The Huntsman's Winter's War, debuted at number two with $19.4 million. I would have to think that's probably a disappointment for them.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty low.
Yeah.
You know, things are either making crazy money or nothing.
Well, Jungle Book, $60 million. In its second week, that's better than a lot of movies do their opening week at number one.
Right. And that's a huge drop for that movie for second week, right? Because it was just over 100. It was 109 last week.
It's more than a 50% drop, I think. Well, no, for the overall week, it would be.
Right. But for the weekend, it wasn't.
Yeah. So maybe off the top of my head, like ballparking a 45% drop.
Yeah. Which is not bad.
Yeah, you know, it's about.
It's typical. Not like it's not Batman v Superman numbers.
No.
Sorry.
No, you want to hear something really tragic? I just found out that Precious Cargo straight to DVD release. Another one. Yep. And I had that one.
Let's see. Next weekend is my movie coming out. Yeah. Anyway, that number one ranking. Goodbye, Eric.
Anyway, number three.
Lou. Barbershop, the next cut. Second week made another $10 million for a total of $35 million. Again, pretty low.
Zootopia, but you know what? It had a low budget, too. So
it did.
Probably going to be profitable.
But I would still think $35 million has got to be disappointing for them.
But
overall, you know, it just seems low.
But they know they're going up against big movies. So I think, again, it was a low budget, and they're definitely going to make it up in home release.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. With 8 weeks under its belt now, Zootopia has brought in just $6.6 million this week for a total of $316
million. Nice.
That's got to be a big win for them. The Boss brought another $6.2 million in to round out top five here. It's made $49 million in about 3 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. So Jungle Book still going strong. I can't believe The Huntsman.
Yeah, that seems awful low. I mean, I don't know what the budget was for that, but
looking at the trailer, it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
No, looking at the trailer, it looked like it wasn't that bad either. Like watching that trailer, I would be happier watching this film than the first Huntsman film.
You know, did I see the Huntsman film? Yeah, I guess I did. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't like it was, you know, great, but this one just didn't really intrigue me at all to go see it. I don't know. In fact, I saw one website called this, talking about the movie. I think it was before it came out, talking about saying, you know, The Huntsman, Winter's War, otherwise known as the movie that they contractually had to make, because I guess it was part of a deal to make two movies. And I thought, oh, that's just really bad to put it that way.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I forget who got it on our movie draft, but hopefully they didn't pay much for it.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what the
randomchatter.com/moviedraft.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what production budget was, but I didn't see that here in IMDb. Yeah.
Coming to theaters this week, we've actually got a really good weekend for movies.
Yeah.
It appears that way. Keanu, which I have to admit, like I was looking forward to it. And then there were a couple of early screenings that did not go very well. And then we had our movie draft the next day. I'm like, I want to bid on Keanu. I don't know. I think if the reviews were that bad, nah, it's not going to do that good. And I don't think I won Keanu. I think I let somebody else have it. I don't even think I bid very much with it.
Hmm.
Well, it's currently got an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I read another couple of reviews of it today, and people are saying it's pretty good. So
I want to see it. The trailer looks really funny.
I mean, I would have seen it even if it sucked or even if it would have been, you know, mediocre. But 80% for a comedy is pretty darn good. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be happy with that.
So Keanu opens this weekend. So does Mother's Day with an 8%. Yep.
Who's even in that? I didn't even know that was a movie.
Drew Barrymore or something?
Really?
I don't know. Ratchet and Clank, animated movie based on a couple of old PlayStation characters, 17%. Not entirely surprising, but I'm sure there are kids out there who will like it. Term Life with Haley. I keep mispronouncing her last name, Steinfeld. And what's his name? Vince Vaughn. And then finally, Green Room with almost 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. That was your pick that you were worried about last week when it opened in a whopping three theaters.
Yeah, I know.
I told you it was coming to full release.
I'm excited. That's pretty good.
It does look pretty good.
Oh, and by the way, I just went back and found on Box Office Mojo what Winter's War's budget was.
Yeah.
115 million.
Oh, a production budget.
Yeah.
Not advertising and distribution. Budget, right? Yeah.
They're taking a bath on this one.
Oh, that's horrible. DVD. This past week we had Ride Along 2. And I don't know the release date for it, but as I said earlier, Precious Cargo, straight to DVD, and apparently is already available. And I'm very sad. It looks good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well. Joy comes out on May 3rd, this coming Tuesday, which was supposed to be really good. And then May 10th.
Hmm.
A movie I would like you all to go watch and tell us what you think of it. And that is, Lou, any guesses?
Synchronicity. Yeah.
Yes. Because I know everybody will have already seen Deadpool because they're not going to wait until May 10th to pick that up. They're going to be watching it right now on iTunes. So instead of Deadpool, because you will already have purchased it, I want everybody to pick up Synchronicity on May 10th and let us know what you think. See what I did there? You thought it was going to be dead?
Yeah.
Okay, that was not nearly as witty as I hoped it was going to be.
No, it was not.
All right. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
Chat room says, Joy was very good. I've heard that from the few people I know who have watched Joy in the theaters. They said it was surprisingly good. So, there you go.
Well, cool. I think that brings us to the end of the episode.
All right. Outer Rim at randomchatter.com. That's where you can contact us via email. We would love to hear your thoughts on any of the various things that we have thrown together for this episode this week. Lots of good stuff there, so let us know what you think.
Of course, you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. On Facebook, it is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. The podcast can also be taken on Twitter. It's at randomchatterpodcast. Or also at Random Chatter. You can find me on podcast from my own personal Twitter handle at Lou Secchi. That's LOUSECKI. And Eric, where can they find you?
You can find me at Eric Blythe. It's ERIKBLYTHE. And you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. That's where you can find the entire podcast network. Random Chatter, Echo Base, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Case Files, The Retro Convo, The Sabacc Table. You can get all of the shows there and also on iTunes and Stitcher as well.
Cool. And, of course, you know, let people know about the show if you like it. Tell your friends about it. Leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. That does help people find the show and get us up towards the top of those lists. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to listen live. We do recordings on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9 o'clock or 9:15 or so, time we actually get going. You can find that at randomchatter.com/live.
And we want to thank all of our donors at Patreon. That is a lot of people may not know exactly what that's used for, but that helps keep the lights on here at the network. And we really, really appreciate it. It's been a big help. And we're glad to have a system like Patreon that allows us to give something back to the listeners. And, you know, it's been working out pretty well. It's been working out better this time around than I think on when we were doing it for the Forcecast, at least in the sense that we're keeping up with it really well. We got a lot of great content there for bonus content. The Slack channel for the donors who are participating there has been such a success. In fact, this last episode of Echo Base, the discussion topic was basically a discussion that we ripped out of the Slack channel that none of the three of us were even participating in actively.
Mm.
And I have to say, I think it was one of the more interesting discussions we've done in quite a while.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So the Slack channel has been a big success. And the donors at the, I believe it's the $10 level for that, get into the Slack channel and participate with us in all the discussions there. And man, that's really taken off. I'm really happy that that's been successful, because that's another thing that not only do the donors get something out of it, but then we get something out of it too, because we get the fun of participating in those discussions with them. So it's really great. But if you'd like more information on how to support the network and take part in some of that stuff, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter.
Well, until next week, thanks for listening.
Take care.
The Force will be with you always. right.